Marcus here with you as always. And today it is Monday, October 20th, 2014. And boy, just when you think the government couldn't make a bigger mess out of the housing market, well, that's what you get with a Fannie Freddie government trifecta. Today we're going to cover some of the news that mortgage giants set to loosen lending. We could really retitle this, mortgage giants pouring more gasoline on the fire. But hopefully this will give you I don't know if it'll give you a better idea of what's going on in the mortgage market, but at least show you what a mess it is and help explain why it's really a very challenging time to be buying real estate, despite a lot of the commentary out of Wall Street and the banks of how the market is just getting rolling. So I want to provide you with a little clarity about that today, let you also know the asinine moves that are going on by these mortgage giants. Where to begin? Well, let's just check out the first paragraph here. That really tells the story. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and mortgage lenders are nearing an agreement that could lower barriers and restrictions on borrowers with weak credit, a move that would expand access to home loans amid the sluggish housing recovery. Well, all righty there. Does this sound familiar to anybody else? Is there anyone who was alive as far back as 2008? Am I the only one out here? Let me continue. Fannie and Freddie are also considering programs that would make it easier for lenders to offer mortgages with down payments of as little as 3% for some borrowers. The moves could be announced as soon as this coming week. Well, that's great. Regulators and White House officials have struggled to expand access to mortgages, maybe because the mortgage market is highly overvalued. 24% of the country is unemployed and people can't afford houses at this level. But according to these guys, which have been hard for some borrowers to get since the financial crisis, despite a sharp rise in home prices. Regulators have struggled to expand access to mortgages, which have been hard for some borrowers to get since the financial crisis, despite a sharp rise in home prices. But the likely moves by Fannie and Freddie could provide kindling for critics who worry about repeating some of the mistakes that led to the housing boom and bust. Well, the Wall Street Journal got that part right, and today I'm going to play the role of the critic because this is... It would be hard to imagine a worse policy than this. I don't know if I wanted to destroy the housing market and really create a colossal disaster that was going to end up affecting millions of people and play out exactly like it did in 2008, but only bigger and with more devastation in the way. Yeah, this is what I would do. I mean, I don't know if it's a good or a bad sign that even the Wall Street Journal is able to point out that they're refueling a housing bubble, but keep in mind that with all the talk about subprime and CDOs and collateralized mortgage obligations and lowering interest rates and quantitative easing and all the other fantastic inventions we witnessed in the wake of the last housing bubble, it really was pretty simple when you just get down to what was actually going on and what happened. I mean, banks were charging fees, and they wanted to sell houses and get those fees basically on any live body that would sign for the loan, whether they're going to repay it or not. Everyone figured, well, prices will always go up. So, hey, you know, if you have no money, just buy the house for $100,000. Next year it'll be worth $150,000 and... I always liked how Peter Schiff pointed out once that essentially you've made owning a home, it's a career. And I mean, remember when he went on that, one of those Schiff was Right video clips, there was that real estate guy who was saying, you know, he expected another normal return in the market of about 10%. And Schiff had a great point, noting how this guy thought that 10% was a normal return, while at the same time, I'm not sure what the exact mortgage rate was, depending on which year that was. But if you have 7 or 8% mortgage, and you're going to get a 10% return, then really the only thing you have to figure out is where to find the most expensive house possible. And maybe you could find a $100 million Illuminati castle, and that goes up to $110 million after a year, and you only have a loan of you only owe $108 million. So there, you've made a great great business plan according to this system. But of course, these things are illogical, and you know, a simple way of looking at it is that we know the housing market has to be somewhat overvalued because if we were, I mean, God forbid, if we actually had a free market where supply and demand set the prices rather than Obama and Congress, you know, whatever price they would have fallen to, just by the fact that the government kept pumping money in to make sure the prices wouldn't fall. And again, we've seen a massive new bubble inflated, especially once they started buying another big chunk of mortgage-backed securities back in 2013. So just imagine if all this stuff hadn't happened, then you actually would have had home prices fall to a level where they were sustainable. Which I would argue is a good thing because we had a housing bubble. That means prices were too high. No one could actually afford these. I mean, they could sign the loans and everyone could come up with different schemes to try and work a few bucks out of the system. But, you know, people couldn't afford the loans. In fact, on a recent podcast, we were talking with a good friend of mine, Charlie Meal, who was working at Bear Stearns when Bear collapsed. And he noted that a lot of these loans, people were signing the loans and then were missing actually the first payment. So if you're not making the first payment, that means that, you know, it probably wasn't a well-designed or high-quality loan. And again, you see that Fannie and Freddie, true to their colors along with the government, they're doing the exact same thing over again. And well, we're actually going to get the exact same result, but most importantly, what does it mean to you, and what can we, how can we use this information to make some better decisions that hopefully can keep some more money in your pocket rather than Fannie, Freddie, or the government? Nibbles. And really the key takeaway here is that it's a very challenging real estate environment. And from a trading standpoint, you know, sometimes just avoiding a bad trade is the same as making a good one. If there's any poker players listening today, it's that same analogy of, you know, winning a $4 bet in the long run is exactly the same as not losing $4. Like, let's say you didn't call when you were beat and you didn't end up losing $4 that your opponent would have taken. Would have taken otherwise. So anyway, the point being that, you know, sometimes when we see this information, sometimes the action or the best response can be nothing. Now, certainly, if you were looking to invest in real estate, buy a bunch of houses, and flip them a couple of years from now, I would say that this is an incredibly dangerous time to do that. Why? Well, if you had done it, if you had known how much money printing was coming and you had done it back in 2009 or 2010, then, yeah, it would have been great. Just like, again, if you had known how much money was going to be printed, which essentially we did. And that's why an Arcadia I wrote, I guess this was really almost 2 years ago now, about how with all this new money coming in, we're probably going to see a stock market bubble. And sure enough, we have. And the tricky thing with the bubble is that, yeah, once the price goes up, everyone's exciting. The NASDAQ is crossing what level or... kind of hard to keep track of the records that all the indices are setting, but The thing is that once the price has already gone up, you know, often it's too late. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't go up farther, and certainly it could. Again, a lot of that's going to come down to what does the Fed do. Now, I was talking with a real estate friend of mine yesterday who mentioned that over the past couple months, the real estate market has really slowed down a lot, which isn't surprising given that you've had the Fed tapering their bond purchasing. So what a coincidence. In the beginning of 2010, when they started printing $85 billion a month, stock market, real estate, bond market, all shot up. But once you stop printing the money, or, I mean, God forbid we even withdrew it, it's not surprising that you see the market is slowing down again. And actually, there's never been, at least to my knowledge, I don't know if there's ever been a time in history. Well, no one has ever really tried any of these things before, so certainly we haven't been able to observe it before. But it's been really fascinating that if you look at when these money printing packages were announced and what the market did, and then as the packages, especially QE2 was the big one back in 2011, and everyone was wondering, well, are they going to keep going or are they going to stop? And of course, as soon as they stop printing as much money, you see the market starts to collapse again. Is that what's happening now? It could be. This could be another scare, and maybe there's another leg up, but the reason why it seems like a pass to me is just that, like, is that the risk you want to take? I mean, do you want to take your life savings and, you know, bet it on a coin flip where it could go up a little more, but we're also in that 2006-2007 type environment where it could get smoked tomorrow. You could see a repeat of that. I remain surprised that it has not happened yet. But from just physical logic and just common sense, it as William Cave once said, and one of my favorite quotes, anything that's unsustainable isn't going to be sustained. It's not rocket science. In fact, the reason that I believe many people have a hard time understanding it is probably due to the same reason that I had a hard time understanding it for so long, is because we've been actively conditioned to believe the nonsense for years, decades, centuries. I mean, really since before we were born, we're always told trust in the government, trust in the Federal Reserve. Hey, things go bad. Bernanke, Greenspan, whoever has got it under control. And now, of course, as the problems were delayed and never dealt with and just rolled over and piled into bigger problems, we're getting to really the end of the road. And more people are waking up and noticing what's going on, which is a great thing, which means that probably you're going to see a lot more volatility, because now it's not just going to be the banks in there that are controlling the money and playing, but as the Chinese begin to break away from the dollar, then the Russians begin to break away from the dollar, and Iran decides to send their oil for gold instead of dollars. Another brainbuster plan that worked out brilliantly, those sanctions from President Obama. But, you know, that's the thing, is that the governments and the bankers, they can certainly distort the markets in the short term. They are absolute masters of that. And if you try and beat them in the short term and you're going up against the current in a rigged market, unless you really know what's going on and how to respond to that, that can be a dangerous situation. But sometimes the best thing to do is just pass, and what you can do is use the information you have, say, all right, well, I know what's going to happen in, or I have a good idea of what's going to happen in the real estate market. How can I use that information to find an opportunity somewhere else? Well, maybe that means just waiting for a while. And sometimes, you know, I know there's this school of thought that everyone's like, wow, I can't imagine being out of the market for more than a week or a month, you know, because it's this Jim Cramer-like frantic casino addiction where if you're not in there, you're going to miss something. But that's okay. You know, imagine, and it's all a matter of adjusting to the conditions, but sometimes it's a good time to be very patient and wait, and you maybe don't trade at all. And sometimes when the great opportunity is there, then you want to be really aggressive and you'll be trading a lot. Sometimes in a situation like this, if you had, let's say you had seen everything coming in 2007, 2008, well, you wouldn't have wanted to buy a house then. I mean, imagine if you had known what was coming. Well, you certainly wouldn't have bought a house. Now, of course, not everybody knows what's coming, but had you known that, maybe instead of buying a house, you could have just waited until the whole thing collapsed and, you know, the stock, I guess the S&P went down to 666, and you could have loaded up then. See, that's the whole key, is knowing how to buy low and sell high. And from my perspective, again, you know, I say this as someone who spent 7 years as an equity options trader, which by its nature is a short-term trading activity. And even with that said, I still don't even attempt to do much short-term trading in the markets right now because, unfortunately, you're going up against a heavily rigged game in a variety of areas. And certainly to the degree that you want to figure out how it's rigged and circumvent that, that makes a lot of sense. Like if you had known that the whole thing was a Ponzi scheme about to collapse 2007 and you'd waited, that would have been a great way of approaching it. Similarly, as I've mentioned several times before, I think part of how this is all being kept in check and letting people really know what's going on is because gold and silver are being manipulated and suppressed because the banks sell a lot of paper contracts, which is how it's traded, yet I continue to believe we're nearing the point where everyone starts showing up for their gold, and finally you have a run on the bank of the century. Now, when does that happen? Again, no one knows, but that would be an example of when the mortgage market collapses, what might react off of that would be gold and silver. And again, and this is going to be different for each person based on their timeline and horizon. So, you know, again, that's something you want to speak with your own individual licensed broker about to make sure that you're doing what fits for you. But again, what I want to just get you to be able to see is just the idea that, you know, we don't have to respond and be there trading every single day. And sometimes just passing or doing nothing is really, again, like the poker analogy. If you have crappy, you know, you have a 3-8 offsuit, it's okay to fold that. You're not a favorite in that situation. And, you know, maybe in some markets where it's a lot different, you know, maybe you have to take more chances because you can't really ascertain what's going on. But that's the curse and benefit of what these guys are doing to the mortgage market. Is it going to have a very negative impact on the global economy? Yes, I think that it will. But really the whole reason why we started Arcadia is that once you see what's happening and can work that into your outlook, well, all right, well, yes, it is going to affect. A lot of people are going to lose money. That doesn't mean that it has to be you. And anyway, hopefully, after this discussion and just being aware of some of these asinine things Fannie and Freddie are doing, you have a better idea. Not that, I mean, I think people have started to pick up on this for a while, but, you know, it's just interesting seeing that here we are back, now 6 years later, nothing has changed, and really they're just pouring more gasoline on the fire. And not to overdo it, but I think every once in a while it's worth rechecking in on these things and just freshening up the picture so you can understand what's going on, make better decisions, avoid buying a house right before the market's going to collapse. Again, that doesn't mean that people can't go out and buy houses. There are, you know, certain situations where, hey, if you're going to buy the house and you know this is where you want to live for the next 30 or 50 years and you're paying the rest of that 30-year mortgage off in devalued dollars 25 years from now, well, that can work great, but you just have to realize that in actual terms, real terms, of what you can actually buy with the money that your house is worth, you know, these things to me seem still like, just by natural law, they would have to be heavily overvalued, or I don't want to say heavily overvalued, but just with all the things going on in the market, I think you're going to see a lot of volatility, shall we say, between now and whenever then is. And anyway, hopefully this gives you a better handle so that you can at least start understanding what's going on, really where things are going, where they're heading. If you have specific questions or really need someone to sit down and help you understand some of the other dynamics that are going on in the market, then again, that's what we're here to help with. And if you go to arcadiaeconomics.com and go over to the contact tab, and if there's a particular situation you're facing, we'll see what we can do to help, or whether that's referring you to a specialist. But really, that's what the purpose of the podcast and the whole business is for, is so that whenever this dollar Ponzi scheme collapses and takes the mortgage market with it, you know, you can really be in as great shape and understand what's happening and make good decisions so that you come out ahead and really protect yourself and can help the other people around you. And because we're going to need all of us standing up to what's going on together. And anyway, I thank you again for joining me today. I hope you found this information helpful. If so, please hit that subscribe to the podcast button over there, and I'd love to keep talking with you and giving you the information that hopefully can, you know, lead you to be living the life that you really dreamed of and wanted to live 5 or 10 years from now, rather than having to experience the pain and frustration that so many of us went through with each of these bubbles, and .com, housing, or, you know, you can go farther back and find more. But anyway, hopefully that helps clear things up a little bit. And with that said, I just want to wish you a good night. Thank you again for listening, and God bless you all. See you again soon.